Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of Inside China Tech. I'm Zanzu, a technology reporter with the South China Morning Post, and today we have two guests on the show. With me today is Edith Yong, a VC who runs a blockchain fund, Proof of Capital, as well as Meng Jing, who is calling in from Beijing. So Meng Jing is my colleague on the technology desk, and she's just authored this awesome story that we have on SCMP Tech this week about Chinese students and, you know, the kind of problems that they're facing when it comes to getting visas in the US, whether it is for study or for work. Yeah, so Meng Jing recently wrote a story about how Chinese students now are facing tighter visa controls in the US because of all of these, you know, US-China trade tensions. So Meng Jing, do you want to share with us, you know, what were some of your observations recently when you were in the US interviewing Chinese students?
Yes, I went to Boston to cover a forum. And during the trip, I had a chance to interview some Ivy League university students. And all of them are, of course, Chinese students. And they all majored in the STEM fields, which stand for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And those are really basically some of the world's best students, but they are having a lot of trouble in the US. It's just it's because, you know, the ongoing trade tension between the US and the China, since I think last summer, they have been encountering a lot of visa difficulties. And the Trump administration has rolled back a five-year visa policy, which means a lot of those students have to renew their visa in China for once every year. So and also they have been encountering a lot of so-called administrative processing, and there's basically they need to wait a long time for them to get their visa. And this kind of thing basically make them put their career and academic study at risk, because a lot of people worry that once they step out of the US and they go to China to renew their visa, they may face a risk of not being allowed into the US again. So one of the PhD students I interviewed, he basically haven't returned back to China for 2 years, and because he worried that this could jeopardize his career, potential career in the US.
Yeah, that's quite interesting to hear, because, you know, in the US there is a lot of Chinese talent in terms of whether it's students or whether it's tech workers, a lot of Chinese engineers or Chinese sort of technology specialists do want to work in the US. So Edith, what is your experience, or what are your observations, you know, with this recent situation?
Well, just to start, you know, historically, it's always been tough for a Chinese student or Chinese engineer to get visa to the US. The most famous story is recently the Zoom IPO. The founder and CEO Eric Yuan was rejected 8 times for his US visa. So this is definitely not new news per se. But I have to say, you know, being somebody actually also have gone through this whole process. I actually started as an exchange student from Hong Kong to the US with a visa called J-1 visa, which is an exchange student visa. And after I officially got accepted to a university in the US, I switched my visa status to what they call F-1 visa. And most of the students, not just for Chinese, like all the international students usually hold the F-1 visa until they graduate from university. And after you've done university, they usually give you a what they call OPT, optional practical training, for 1 year. And that usually is the golden opportunities for a lot of the graduate, you know, Harvard, Yale, or any university student to get the chance to really sort of experience. And obviously, my own journey was, you know, after I graduated from Purdue University, my first job was in Silicon Valley. So using the OPT training, I can sort of delay for applying for what you call H-1B visa, which is the worker visa. That in my experience, I actually got 2 terms of the H-1B visa, which is a three year each. And, you know, like it's definitely, I remember the, just felt like I was really stuck. My legal status staying in the U.S. is tied to the company. And if I did something wrong and, you know, that particular tech company decide to fire me, I really can't even stay, in the U.S. So it's definitely really daunting, feeling like you don't have control of your own destiny and somebody else pretty much drive where you could stay or not. And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, so it sounds like just traditionally this the US process has always been like complex, especially for international students or, you know, immigrants who are trying to work in the US. But right now, do you feel or do you observe that it's being compounded by, you know, what's happening and, you know, with like the visa situations currently? Is it much worse?
I think always been pretty bad. Mm. And is even worse now with Mr. Trump, and also like the problem definitely have magnified even more. If you think about it, right, I spent many years in Silicon Valley, and if you look at, you know, Satya, which is the CEO of Microsoft, or Sundar, who is like the CEO of Google, all of these guys are immigrant. If you think about it, right? Google is created by, you know, the sons of immigrants. So in many ways, Silicon Valley, you will see many Chinese, many Indians. Is we sort of know like the tech industry is fueled by all these amazing talent. So it really sucks if you think about it that now it seems like they're even not welcome. And some of these decision is not just because in the past, if you know, have a visa, you can go in and out multiple times. And we are literally reading stories that, you know, even you have a legitimate visa, you may not even let back into the country. And that is scary.
Yeah, so that's exactly like what Mengjing, you just said, right? Like there are some students who are afraid to go home. They're afraid that, like, I mean, in some cases, there might be administrative processes. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, there's basically, since the tighter control of the visa policy from the Trump administration, many Chinese students associations at American universities, they've already launched a petition to hope that more Chinese students will voice out and to support their petition to against the visa policy. And according to the petition, there's even one case that a student had encountered a 18 months long administrative processing, which basically forced him to drop out of the university. And I think it's a really extreme case, but it's not just though it's just an individual case, I can imagine the feeling or the pressure of those students and their families behind, because I did my master's degree in the U.S. In the U.K. It's not in the U.S. And I think when I was in the U.K. I felt I was welcome there because I'm a student and I went there to learn something, and also I have my the hope of my family all behind me. So a lot of students I interviewed in the U.S., I can imagine the pressure they are under because their families, they have all this kind of hope, and they spend a lot of money on their degrees. And somehow, you know, they did nothing wrong, but they're seen as some kind of spy in the U.S., and which may somehow jeopardize their study there, basically harm their career, make them basically leave them no fewer options. So then they could, maybe before they go to the US, they think they have a bright future ahead of them. But now it's just all falling apart. So it's just, I feel very sad and I feel very sorry for them.
Yeah, so basically this is sounds like, you know, when you say this administrative process, it's like they just went home and then suddenly they're just caught in this sort of legal situation where they are unable to go back to the US. Like when they leave the US, it might just to be like to visit family or whatever. And then suddenly they realize they aren't able to return. Is that what we mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I mean, I think all of this whole situation is pretty ironic, right? Because like, I think in the US, like Chinese students make up the largest proportion of international students and oftentimes like the students who do go to the US, like they're going for really sort of top-notch universities. They're really good talent and a lot of them do aspire to work in the US, especially I think in artificial intelligence. Like, I think some study recently showed that actually a lot of the US's sort of AI talent actually is made up of Chinese students. So I like, it just seems really strange to me that the US is choosing to be suspicious of China, you know, at this time when China actually does make up a lot of its talent.
Yeah. And then on top of that is US actually needs immigrant. Well, the whole creation of the nation is really about immigrant to start with. But also, you know, US now have a very, very large aging population, over 70 million of baby boomers. And, you know, as many of these populations are retiring, you really need new blood. And, you know, people are not having multiple babies. And it's not just for the Chinese, or there's many other countries. There's huge population of Mexican immigrant, and they are actually, you know, supporting the country and taking a lot of jobs that Americans don't want to take. Mm-hmm. So in so many sense that I think what's going on now is not going to do the US any good. And if, you know, most of the tech workers end up have to come back to China, and you know what? China will be leading in terms of the numbers of talent that is now US trained AI talent is going to go back to China. This is not going to be a good thing for the US.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny because, you know, like the US on one hand is just, you know, really wary about the rise of China. You know, like we've seen like what they're doing with like Huawei and like in terms of just generally afraid that like China's going to steal secrets or steal technology from the US back to China. So they're really wary about the rise of China, but at the same time, you know, they don't seem to be aware that this trickling back of talent is really actually going to affect them in the long run.
That's right. I absolutely agree.
Meng Jing, so, you know, in your interviews with all of these sort of really top-notch Chinese students, do you get a sense that there is going to be a movement where, you know, that maybe they feel like the future in the US is uncertain and they're looking to eventually move back to China?
Yes, absolutely. It's actually before this ongoing trade tension, about 80% to 90% of the Chinese students who studied in the US are already, you know, go back to China after they graduate, because it's actually already difficult for them to have a job in the US. Traditionally speaking, Indian students have more chance to land land jobs in the US because the culture and also their advantages in language. But now with this this ongoing situation, and a lot of Chinese students think they are go back to China because, you know, there are plenty of good opportunities in China. There's one student I interviewed who was very lucky to land a job in a unit, some kind of unit in Boeing. So he's already got his H-1B visa, but he also got an offer from Xiaomi, you know, the Chinese smartphone major, before Xiaomi actually went IPO in Hong Kong. So he told me that, in the US, he can only maybe work out on some kind of product, and maybe you can produce a new product for every 3 to 5 years. But I Xiaomi, he got a chance to produce a new product for every, 3 to 5 months. So for a young, for a young talent like him, he think China present more opportunities for them to practice his, everything he learned from the US. And also the pay is not bad. He said the pay offered by Xiaomi and offered by Boeing are basically the same. Can you imagine? So you can have the pay in the US and live in Beijing. So he's now work in China, work in Beijing, and he think he absolutely enjoy the his work experience here. And a lot of Chinese students, I think they don't want to stay in the U.S. forever. They basically just want to have some kind of work experience in the U.S. so that they can have better job offers in China. And, that's a situation I observed from my trip to the U.S.
Edith, do you have any thoughts about that?
I absolutely encourage all Chinese student in the U.S. to come back to China. There's absolutely the land of golden opportunities. And I think in the U.S., it's very, very normal if you first, enter a tech companies, as more like a junior person, they definitely will not let you work on a new product or in charge of anything, because they really want you to sort of take on, smaller position, work on a particular feature or fixing bugs, which I've gone through all of that before, to give you like a lot of responsibility. And also it's very, very true. Most of the product cycles literally planned out for a year, 2 years long. China is very, very fast paced, just with 996, everything just at least 10 times faster. So if you really want to take charge and get as much experience as possible, and you are Chinese, I think China is absolutely the place to go. Not to necessarily stay in the US.
Yeah. And like even China themselves, like they know that, like that they welcome these talent, right? Like, Monting, I think you've written also about the 1,000 Talents program. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
What is this program?
Oh, it has become a hush-hush program. But it's like Chinese government is they offer a lot of policies to encourage those highly educated Chinese who who have some kind of experience in the US, but to go back to China. But the 1,000 Talent program are targeted for I think mostly for professors or assistant professors in the US. They need to have some kind of patents, and also publish some papers at high-end journals, and also they need to have some really substantial work experience at high-end tech companies in the U.S. The Chinese government offers them a lot of perks to work in China, so they may have a lot of money, so they can really focus on the research they want to do. And also there are some tax cuts, and also in some depend on what kind of cities they want to work in China. Different cities have different policies, but they all send a very positive signal. So the signal is very strong. China definitely wants them to come back.
Yeah, and like especially these students, whether or not it's academics or tech talent, like if they have US experience, it's also like they're able to take what they've learned in the US and sort of bring it back to China, and being like somebody who would have then studied and lived in both countries, like they're able to sort of bridge that gap and help China to like go global.
I think that the biggest difference between US and China, and especially in the tech community, I feel like sometimes most of my engineering friends in China, when they think of something, they just do it. Just fail as fast as possible and try 1,000 times, at least one time will work. US tend to, when they plan, like in terms of product planning, they actually take a lot of time to plan and think think through a lot of different steps and almost like more talking before even doing anything. So I'm very sure a lot of times some of my Chinese engineering friends, when they come to the US, they're like, how come everything is just so slow? And it's really, there's no good or bad. It's just a different way of thinking. And sometimes I do absolutely encourage my Chinese friends to, hey, why don't we do a little bit more planning before we just start doing? So there's pros and cons for both.
Okay, thank you so much, Mengjing, for coming on to talk about your story. So for those who haven't yet read the story, the headline is, for a growing number of Chinese students, the doors to America are closing. So this story right now is like, it's trending on SCMP. It's our most read story this morning, so definitely check it out. Mengjing's really great reporting and writing. So Mengjing, I know you're very busy, so I will let you get back to whatever you're working on. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so thanks so much, Edith. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter. Just follow me on Twitter, Edith Young, E-D-I-T-H-Y-E-U-N-G, or exactly the same on LinkedIn as well. So I will find you there. If you want to reach out to me, you can also find more about Proof of Capital at proof.fun. That's our new URL, which is awesome.
Cool. And as usual, I am Zen Su. You can find me on Twitter at Zen Su. That's at Z-E-N-S-O-O. Also, if you want to read more of our amazing tech content like Mengjing's story today, you can head on to scmp.com/tech. Finally, if you like our podcast, do rate us 5 stars on iTunes. We are also available on Spotify and Stitcher. All right, see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.